Yeah, thanks. So it's a pleasure to be here. So I'd like to also thank the organizers in absentia for putting on a great and unapologetically theoretical conference. So today, I'm going to switch gears a little bit in terms of context and talk about new kinds of topology that you can get by going very far from equilibrium, and in particular by driving periodically the underlying quantum system. So in particular, I want to talk about new kinds of symmetry-protected topological phases that you can get by driving, and also chiral phases that you can get by driving. So I'll use this word floquet a lot just because it's typically the adjective attached to the theoretical machinery used for periodic Hamiltonians. So we like to call these floquet SPTs or chiral floquet phases. And so just to motivate this, we've heard a lot in this talk about various kinds of equilibrium, zero temperature topological phases. I won't go through these in detail, but we have chiral invertible phases, we have topological orders, we have, and if you add symmetry to the game, you get even new SPT and SET phases. And thanks in large part to a lot of the people in the audience, we're getting a kind of more and more complete map of what kind of phases can occur, modulo these sea monster kind of phases that are sitting out here. So today I want to find instead to look for some new lands by looking in a different context. And the context I want you to keep in mind is that of an isolated quantum many body system. So examples are ultra-cold atoms or trapped ions, and maybe even some solid-state examples where you have spins with long coherence times. But the key feature is that they'll be well isolated from their environment, so they won't be coupled to external sources of dissipation, like phonons and nuclear spins and things that are kind of common in solid-state contexts. And this opens up the new possibility of letting a quantum system, preparing it in some far from equilibrium state and letting it evolve under the internal dynamics of its Hamiltonian. And in particular, we can coherently drive the parameters in the Hamiltonian even in a time-dependent way. And so today I'll stick only to time dependents that, that repeat indefinitely with some period t. And the question I want to ask is, does this enable entirely new kinds of quantum phenomena? And I guess you can guess the answer is yes. So people have looked at this kind of thing for a long time, and there's two ways to kind of use periodic driving to shape new topology. The more traditional way is to take a time-dependent Hamiltonian and such that the time evolution operator for one period takes the form of a new effective Hamiltonian, where this effective Hamiltonian has ingredients in it that weren't present originally in the other one. So for example, by driving, you can turn a trivial band into a Z2 topological insulator band, as pointed out by these folks. And this is a common technique in cold atoms, where you can use it to engineer synthetic gauge fields. Even optical lattices, in some sense, are utilizing this, this approach. And there's been a bit of work in solids. Like, for instance, this photo-induced gap in the TI surface state. Although in solids, you have to work very quickly in order to avoid heating from phonon dissipation. So this is one kind of thing, which is basically engineer a new static Hamiltonian by driving, but something you could have gotten in principle without driving, but it gives you more tools than you might naturally have. So today I want to talk about actually something quite different, which is to create something by driving that has no static analog, that, or if you like, so that your time evolution operator doesn't take the form of a local Hamiltonian evolution under a fixed static Hamiltonian. And in the past, there have been many examples of new types of band topology in periodically driven systems. And these, the key new feature that periodic driving introduces at the level of band theory is that your energy is no longer conserved because you can absorb or emit quanta of the driving field. And instead, you only have this kind of quasi-energy that's conserved up to integer multiples of the driving frequency. And because of this kind of wrapping in energy space, you can get new kinds of band invariants associated with edge states that wrap, you know, kind of around the quasi-energy direction. So I'd like to take this point to take a step back and ask, you know, we're considering an entirely new context of non-equilibrium, and so it's useful sometimes to carefully reevaluate a lot of the preconceptions you carry over from equilibrium. And I want to ask a really dumb-sounding question in equilibrium, which is, why do we care about band topology of non-interacting systems? You know, after all systems are kind of interacting to various degrees. They're never perfectly clean. They don't have momentum conservation, and so on. And the usual answer is that the system that we're after in a topological setting is one where there's an energy gap to a ground state. And the ground state is taken by just filling the lowest energy bands. The physics of the state, even if you perturb with interactions, as long as they don't close this gap, it's dominated by the properties of those bands. So this is all very trivial. But now let's consider what happens in the flow K context. So now my energies live on a circle. There's no lowest energy state. There's no reason a priori to fill any particular states here over any other states. So if I consider this as a many-body system and ask, like, what kind of states can I prepare, you can see that you'll have a hard time preparing a state with a filled band. In fact, your generic preparable initial conditions will have overlap with all kind of states on this circle, right? So you can ask, what does band topology actually have to do with the physics of this system? And the answer is that not much in absence of other ingredients, because there's no sense in filling or emptying bands. There's no sense of equilibrium in this setting. And we can go further and ask, what happens if we go away from this free particle limit, even a tiny bit of interactions? And to give away the answer, I want to suggestively redraw this periodically driven system as follows. So basically, if you have a generic interacting system and you shake it, it's going to absorb energy and heat up. And if it has no place to dump this energy, it will keep heating up to infinite temperature, and you'll basically just get a featureless distribution on all these states. So this kind of seems to destroy the sense of dynamical phases. You know, everything is infinite temperature. There's no difference between any initial Hamiltonian in the long run. And it seems that the, you know, things like bulk band topology, if you add a little bit of interactions, just lose their hold on the system. So this sounds pretty dire, but luckily there's some recent developments that give you a way out. And the way out is to add a lot of disorder to your system. And if you add enough disorder, you can localize all the excitations that will absorb energy. And your system, you can actually realize a system called many-body localized state, or MBL, in which the system never relaxes to thermal equilibrium. It remains out of equilibrium forever. And then the dynamics of the system remain quantum coherent forever, at least in principle, if you have a perfectly isolated system. And even more interestingly, the localization doesn't have to be into trivial kind of particles stuck in different places, but it can actually imprint new types of quantum order that you expect at zero temperature. And the reason for this is that the eigenstates of these many-body localized systems actually all look a lot like ground states. They have very limited entanglement. They all satisfy area law. And it's possible to have kind of coherent patterns of entanglement within them that represent quantum orders, topological orders, symmetry breaking orders, things like that. And recently, there's been a lot of progress in realizing the MBL physics in cold atom systems by synthesizing disorder in various ways and seeing kind of breaking of equilibration by disorder. And, you know, for this talk, the most important thing is that you can periodically drive an MBL system without heating, at least if you drive in the right regime. And the point is that in an MBL context, all of your eigenstates, say all of the eigenstates of your time evolution operator, can have the same quantum order. And then if you prepare an initial state which is not an eigenstate, the quantum order of the time evolution operator itself can imprint itself on the dynamics of that system. And you can get well-defined notion of phases even very far from equilibrium. Okay. So now that we have some excuse to talk about well-defined phases in driven systems, which is MBL, I want to, as a warm-up, talk about what happens if we have some symmetry and we drive the system, and can we get new kinds of SPG phases from driving in the MBL context. And I want to start with just a simple example to show you the general features of the SPT phases that can come out. So I want to consider a spin chain, an Ising spin chain, with a spin flip symmetry around the Z2 symmetry of flipping the spins on the x-axis. And that Hamiltonian I'll consider consists of two pieces. So first, we apply some random transverse fields that serve to localize the system. And then, after some time, we switch the Hamiltonian to something different, which is just nearest neighbor Ising interactions. And there's a particularly simple point in the phase diagram where the exchange times the time that I leave the second term on is pi over 2. And at that point, we can expand the time evolution operator for this second step. And you see that it's just a product of nearest neighbor sigma z's. And if you expand that out, you see there's a lot of repeats that cancel and leave only with a spin flip on one end and the other end. So kind of assembling the full time evolution operator, you see that it consists of a trivial MBL kind of Hamiltonian, which is random transverse fields, and a spin flip on both ends. And you can immediately see that if I demand that this symmetry is intact, I can never write this as evolution under a local Hamiltonian. I would need to have a term which couples the two ends of the system. And moreover, you can see that the edge spins keep flipping every period, and they only come back to themselves every two periods. And in particular, if I try to couple them, move away from this non-generic point, and turn on some extra couplings that respect this symmetry, any coupling to bulk excitations will average out over two periods, because the bulk excitations will come back to themselves, but this guy will flip. So this is a lot like a spin echo that people use in NMR. But here, actually, the spin echo usually requires some fine-tuning, that you perfectly flip this spin. If you mess up the spin flip, you mess up the spin echo, you get imperfect cancellation and dephasing. And here, this comes from actually something topological, and it's robust to errors, this spin echo. So it's kind of, so what protects the edge? We can already kind of see from this. The reason I wrote out this trivial algebra is it lets you see something interesting, which is that it looks like at every stage I'm kind of pumping a spin flip onto adjacent sites. And these spin flips kind of cancel, and in the end what I've done is pump a Z2 charge onto the edge of the system. And you can see that the amount of charge that I pump is given by, you know, the types of irreducible representations of my symmetry, and they're discrete. So I can't pump an arbitrary amount of charge if the symmetry is intact. And so in particular, small perturbations that don't delocalize the bulk can't change the amount of charge I pump. And so this is a bit like a quantized version of an Archimedes screw, if you like. And so it's really this discreteness of symmetry charge that protects the perfect spin echo of the edge states and allows them to kind of coherently store information. And you can also kind of see the general structure of 1D Floquet SPTs just from this thing that, you know, for given symmetry, you can list what kind of charges you can pump onto the boundaries, and the different pumpings will represent different SPT phases. So to put a little more meat to this, and one can ask, you know, can we make this notion of charge pumping a bit more precise? One way to do this that's fruitful for equilibrium SPTs is to look at the entanglement spectrum and look at structure inside the entanglement spectrum. So suppose I take my a Floquet eigenstate of this system, and I cut the system into two pieces, left and right, and I ask, and I make a Schmidt decomposition of these states and rewrite those as kind of Boltzmann weights in the usual way. So this gives me a kind of a spectrum associated with the entanglement with these energies E. And in a normal SPT, this entanglement spectrum would carry degeneracies that mimic the degeneracies of the edge states that I would get if I cut the system open. In this example that I've been talking about, the bulk evolution is completely trivial. There's no entanglement among these degrees of freedom in the eigenstates, and so the spectrum looks completely trivial. But Since it's a dynamical problem, this is not the full information. We also have to ask, how does this entanglement spectrum evolve in the micromotion that's occurring within the period? So I know it has to come back to itself after one period, but in between it can do non-trivial things. And in particular, in this model, you can see because of all these pairwise spin flips that are going on in the bulk, the entanglement spectrum has a protected crossing. And, and moreover, if you look at the quantum numbers of the Schmidt states at the beginning and the end, they actually flip. And so this is a way to see this quantized charge pumping directly in the bulk entanglement spectrum without looking at the edges. An alternative and equivalent way to do it, to do a formal classification, is to note that your Fouquet evolution, either forward or backwards by n steps, actually has all the properties of an extra piece of the symmetry, which has a Z group structure. Basically, I can translate forward or backward by any number of steps. This is a symmetry of my Fouquet eigenstates, kind of by definition. And moreover, in an MBL system, the time translation decomposes into local objects. So it basically obeys all the things you would need from a symmetry. And so you can repeat kind of the equilibrium classification with an enlarged symmetry group, which consists of your actual symmetry group plus time translation. And at least for bosonic phases, there's a Kunneth formula which shows that the possible phases decompose into those you could have gotten with an equilibrium Hamiltonian, and the SPT phases in one lower dimension. And in 1D, one lower dimension is 0D, and in 0D, SPT phases are just in one-to-one correspondence with the symmetry charge of the ground state. So these agree. They basically give you the same picture. So you can kind of immediately generalize a lot of these ideas to two dimensions. In particular, you can say that, okay, in 2D, the analogous kind of pumping phases will be if you have a bulk where you pump a 1D SPT that could have existed with the symmetry group onto the boundary. And I won't go into detail, but you can write down solvable models where this happens. And the basic structure is that you consider a unitary, which maps a small loop of a trivial phase onto a 1D phase. And you act with that on, say, all the plaquettes of a square lattice. And you can see that in the bulk, these is kind of like a Stokes theorem type of deal where their SPT pumpings will cancel in the bulk, but you'll be left with depositing one big SPT chain onto the boundary. And what this does is it kind of hammers the boundary degrees of freedom back and forth between the trivial 1D Hamiltonian and then the SPT 1D Hamiltonian. And it kind of dynamically tunes the edge to the transition between the two, the trivial and SPT phases, and it doesn't let it be localized. So the edge can be either, if it's localized, it has to spontaneously break the symmetry, and if it's respects the symmetry, it will be thermal around the edge or delocalized. And you can also go further and think about, so far I've been talking about Fouquet evolutions where the bulk is trivial, but you could imagine Fouquet evolutions where the bulk is action is equal to some evolution with a topologically ordered Hamiltonian, and the boundary, say, is something else. And it turns out that you get new types of enriched topological phases by driving. And one example is just by gauging any of these 2D SPTs, you get a new kind of topologically ordered phase. The general idea is that you can take a 2D topological order, and you can take any 1D topological chain of the emergent anions that come out in that order, and you can pump them onto the boundary. And what happens is that basically the excited states of these systems will have a bunch of anions, excitations sitting around at random points. And as these 1D chains get pumped across them, these anion types actually get permuted dynamically in a way that preserves their statistics. So anyway, I just want to give a sneak preview of this. If you're interested in more details, then please check out our paper. Okay, so far I've been talking about phases where the periodic driving plays the role of an extra discrete time translation symmetry. And we get new types of topological phases, but they're very closely analogous to static topological phases you could get in equilibrium, but with an enlarged symmetry group. So is this all? Is this basically what you get from driving a system? And the answer is no. And for the last part of the talk, I want to discuss systems where symmetry plays no role, and you get new kinds of chiral phases that don't exist in equilibrium, not even in loose analogs. And so this was work I've been doing with Adrian, Lukasz, Takahiro, and Ashvin. And Adrian's really the hero of this story. I guess hopefully you've had some time to check out his poster and talk to him. But most of the non-trivial ideas that I'll talk about in the remainder of the talk are really his. Okay. So we know an example in equilibrium of a non-fractionalized phase, but which is topologically non-trivial even in the absence of any symmetry, and it's just an integer quantum Hall. So we can ask, are there non-equilibrium or driven analogs of integer quantum Hall? And one thing is that you can not actually directly realize integer quantum Hall states in a non-equilibrium MBL setting. And we'd kind of get a hint from this in from the free particle situation, where we know that the churn number is an obstacle to localization. You can't localize all the states in a non-trivial churn band. But even more, in the presence of arbitrary interactions, you can show that any MBL system will have no kind of gravitational anomaly, no thermal quantum Hall effect. And so in particular, you can't realize any of these quantum Hall type phases in an MBL setting. Okay, so now you can kind of ask, what if energy is not conserved and we start pumping the system? Can we get a different kind of chiral phase? And here I want to start with an example of a model actually cooked up by Erez and their collaborators, which shows something nice. They considered a fermion version of this model, so I want to just make the kind of trivial tweak of considering a spin system, which will allow us to get some more controlled insight into the interacting version of the problem. So consider a lattice of spin halves, or if you like, you can consider them hardcore bosons, where spin up is a boson being there and spin down is no boson. And let's subject it to the following four-step Hamiltonian, where in step one, I apply swap operators, which switch the spin state of I and J on this pattern of bonds. Step two, I do it on a different pattern of bonds, and so forth. So you can see what happens if you track the state of a spin initially here. In the bulk, it will just go in a circle and come back to itself. So the time evolution looks trivial in the bulk. But if you look at the same, if you trace the trajectory of a spin state on the boundary, you can see that it gets pumped kind of chirally around the whole system in unit steps. So at the edge, the Fouquet evolution turns into the translation operator. And to make this thing MBL, these guys showed that you could just add a fifth step, which is some random disorder, which in the bulk commutes with this other evolution and ensures that you have a stable localized phase. So this looks like we have a chiral pumping of spin around the boundary. So the question is, what's topological about this state? How do we understand where this chiral spin pumping comes from? And in the band theory, you can come up with a band invariant, which looks at kind of the winding of block states. But is there something that we can cook up for the many particle version of the system, or something that's valid beyond the band theory picture? And so one suggestion you might be tempted to make is that, okay, since stuff is getting pumped around the edge, maybe there's a quantized chiral edge current. But you can see immediately that this is not the case. Let's say, because the amount of, say, spin or particle number that gets pumped around the edge depends on, if you look, set up a flow meter here, the amount that gets pumped depends on whether there were particles there or not on the step before. So in particular, the amount of spin current depends on which state you're in. So it's not quantized in the usual sense. that we take for topological invariants. Stronger problem with this is that, you know, this edge looks special even in the absence of any conserved particle number. Like, you still have some chiral pumping of stuff around the edge. So the question I want to ask is, like, what is the stuff that's getting pumped around the edge? Like, how do we understand this? And a hint is that you can see if there's a particle here, it gets pumped. If there's no particle there, it gets pumped. But either way, if I look at this site one step later, I can perfectly reconstruct the state on this site. So it seems that actually the information about the state of this system is getting pumped. Sorry, energy also doesn't work. And neither does my PowerPoint animations. Okay. okay, good. So the hypothesis is that what's getting pumped is actually quantum information. And so to make this precise, let's define a flow gauge for quantum information by borrowing some technology from the quantum information community by these folks. And the idea that we have is as follows. Let's look along the edge and make a cut and make a region on the right and ask how much information about the state on the left of the cut does this know after one time step. And so define how much information does something have about something else. It's useful to take a complete set of states I that span the basis of, say, this right region. And you can form all linear combinations of matrix elements between different states on this right region. And this forms an algebra. You can multiply or add these operators with various coefficients. And there's an orthonormal basis, which is just pick some, which was just given by these transition matrix, transition operators. And you can define an overlap of algebras by just basically, if you have two of these things, but tracing over their basis states and summing over all possible ones and with some appropriate normalization. And this has the simple properties that if A and B are two different algebras that are completely commuting and have nothing to do with each other, this overlap is one. And if they're the same, like if they coincide completely, the overlap is the dimension of the Hilbert space spanned by the algebra A or B. And so if I take the log of this quantity, for independent things, it's zero. And for the same thing, it's basically log of the Hilbert space dimension, which is kind of the entropy associated with that region. And so what we can do is basically evolve for one step and measure how much does right know about left. And that by itself turns out to not be quantized. But if I divide by the opposite process, which is how much does left know about right after one step, then this ratio, so here U is time evolution, turns out to be quantized to a rational number. And we like to take its log so that this can be interpreted as the imbalance of information flowing left versus right. So these guys prove that this kind of quantity is an invariant of the evolution. It's not modified by small finite depth unitaries or slight twists to the details of my evolution. And it characterizes, we can also show that for local time evolution, this invariant will always be trivial. Evolution under a local Hamiltonian will never produce a non-trivial value of this invariant. And intuitively, this is kind of obvious because if I have a system that kind of translates states to the right, and I can do it in a local Hamiltonian, I can just turn off that local Hamiltonian outside of some region. And I'll basically end up with states piling up over here and being depleted from over here, which would break unitarity. But on the other hand, on a boundary of a 2D system, there's no pileup, there's no problem. And so this is kind of an example of a dynamical anomaly where you're allowed to realize it only in systems without a boundary. And just to say, you can kind of easily see that this swap operator, the swap model for a spin half, the edge, you can first decouple it from the bulk since you have an MBL system. And then you can measure how much information is flowing along the edge. And you can see that it's log of 2, or if you had a spin, you know, higher spin, it would be log of the number of spin components. So in the last minute or so, let me just say that this looks in many ways like a quantum Hall, like integer quantum Hall system. And it's kind of similar in the sense that the bulk is not topologically ordered. The edge is non-trivial, and the non-trivial topological properties don't depend on any symmetry. But it's also a different phenomena than quantum Hall. So first, you can see that the amount of information pumped in a quantum Hall edge is not continuous. It's just a steady stream that depends on the velocity and of the quantum Hall edge, whereas this is really kind of a discrete pumping. And a sharper difference is that the structure of the topological index of these phases is very different than quantum Hall. You have this kind of multiplicative structure of quantum states rather than the additive structure. So let's consider stacking a two-state swap model that goes in this chirality on top of a three-state swap model going the other way. You know, in a quantum Hall system, you would kind of add the invariance of the two, and you would have some residual cancellation. So here you can see that this invariant actually becomes log of 2/3. So you actually would multiply, or rather, you know, take the ratio of these states instead. So this composition structure is very different than Chern number. And it's something that can happen only in this flow K context. Okay. So there's a couple things which I'll be unfortunately a bit brief about. So far I've been talking about boson systems where you can rigorously prove things using this this quantum information technology. But it's also interesting to ask what's this story for fermion versions of these models. And one thing you can show is that if you start with a right moving fermion and a left moving two-state boson system, that you can make the edge trivial. Incidentally, you have to add some trivial degrees of freedom in order to do this in the way we know how to do it. But basically, the upshot is that the fermion pumping phases are equivalent to those with invariant log 2. So that there's not much difference in the amount of information carried by fermions or bosons. And we can contrast this to equilibrium, where integer quantum Hall states, you need 8 minimal fermion states to make up the minimal boson quantum Hall state. Yeah. And this is a teaser. We can also construct fractional chiral versions of this, where the bulk is actually topologically ordered, and you have irrational indices, where you're pumping fractions of states at the edge. So since I'm out of time, I won't have to tell you about the details of that, but thanks.
Questions?
So the quantity that you are using to quantify information flow, can I think of it, it's hard to absorb what it is looking at the equation, but I wonder if it is in any way related to information entropy or mutual information, Shannon entropy, can I relate to any of those?
Concepts? Yeah, it's very close to this, the usual entropy, but you're asking how much information did the right side of a cut receive about the left minus how much went the other way. So it's really the difference between quantum information flowing right versus left measured in terms of the Shannon entropy or the von Neumann entropy of the bits. So it's really like difference in information flow where you define information in the way you mentioned.
When we think about, say, mutual information, the notion of flow is not involved in there.
Right. So this is slightly distinct from that.
Where is this notion of flow entering your quantity?
So because you basically time evolve some part of your edge, that's the flow part, and then measure how much does this evolved edge have to do with the other part of your edge.
So can I think of it as measuring mutual information over,
No, it's not really, there's no mutual information generated necessarily, right? If I just shift everything along the edge, I don't generate mutual information among different sites. But there's kind of mutual information between different time steps, like the state at one time step earlier. So in that sense, it's really a flow of states, not a generation of long-range information.
Drew, if I may. This information flow is not quantized. Is that right? Or is it?
It's quantized to take values in rational numbers.
Why is that?
So basically it's the ratio of right versus left is the ratio of two coprime integers.
Because these are always dimensions.
You can only send basically integer numbers of quantum states. Yeah, they're basically quantum dimensions. And if you don't have any topological order, you can only have, you know, whole numbers appearing for these. So in the algebraic proof, they turn out to be dimensions of some of these algebras, mm-hmm. Which are always integer.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Andrew, I have a question to the first part of the talk. So you argued that if it wasn't for MBL, it would be pretty hard to imagine this time forecast states to even exist. And then you proceeded to give two examples. One was the 1D Ising-Chernin transverse field, and then also the 2D SPT. So was there an implicit assumption that those can be MBL localized, or has it been proven that they are MBL examples of MBL?
The 1D has been proven. The 2D is still a bit of a matter of debate. I think on a practical sense, it can at least be localized up to kind of age of the universe for decently strong disorder.
Right, but would it be fair to say that in some sense, everything you told us today hinges on the assumption that whatever system you start with is an MBL localized system,
which
may not be there, right? It depends on details of disorder, interactions, correct?
Right, but what we can show is for the things that I mentioned, it's possible to go to some limit for some correct type of disorder, where you can really realize these phases in a commuting projector Hamiltonian with arbitrarily random coefficients, and you can really, at least in principle, drive the thing safely deep into the localized phase, such that it should be stable to small perturbations. So you don't guarantee if you drive some generic system with some generic Hamiltonian that it'll happen to be localized, but if you do the right thing, you can make them localized. It's a non-trivial constraint because actually almost every fermion SPT in the tenfold way is not localizable, but the bosonic ones work. Michael had a question.
Yeah, just a quick question. So you started off, you explained how to compute this information flow along the boundary, but is there a way that you can compute it from the bulk?
That's a really interesting question. Something we're thinking about, but we don't have a good answer. In the 2D, in the Floquet SPTs, you could look at this entanglement spectrum and there was some signature there, but it wasn't obvious to us that there was something similar in the... Yeah, there must be, we just don't know what it is. Mason?
Can you comment on whether you could experimentally measure this quantum information flow?
So I spent a lot of time trashing this edge current idea, but I think that's definitely the best way to measure it experimentally. It's not a direct topological invariant, but you could enrich your system with a charge quantum number and witness the charge being pumped or not pumped. I think that's the easiest thing I could think of measuring. There's also this proposal about magnetization, which is kind of a similar vein.
Could you change the boundary condition to because there's no lag on your boundary? So how about it acts on your boundary?
You can add any local Hamiltonian to the boundary and it won't change the properties I mentioned.
You want to change?
No.
It may be changed.
No, it won't change.
Okay.
You can prove it won't change. Like any deformation by finite depth unitary will not change.
Okay,
this
I will index. Think. I will think clear.
And I was also curious about this a formula that quantizes that ratio to a rational number. So I guess that's you don't need that formula for the robustness of the effect here. It's can you say more about with the role of that rational number?
I mean, the rational number, so intuitively, it's just this ratio of states that are being pumped, right? So the point is that you need to make some well-defined formula that's actually measuring that, because you can have some trivial non-chiral flow back and forth across this cut, and this ratio kind of divides out by that quantity and gives you something quantized. So yeah, I'm not sure what you have in mind, but you can't really dispense with this in any obvious way. You really need to, you know, cancel out the trivial degrees of freedom by subtracting them.
Did you say what value this topological index takes for the boundary of an integer quantum hull?
It's not quantized.
So wait, what? When
this,
is it
this
quantized?
This index is not well defined for the boundary of integer quantum hull, because you can't. Well, firstly, you can't separate the bulk from the boundary in a time evolution, because there's no way to there's always one extended state kind of that lives across your whole system that doesn't let you factorize. It's related to this absence of MBL. But even if you kind of try to just take a chiral edge on its own, and let's say I evolve it for a time t just to give it some period over which to measure the amount of flow. But you can see easily by just changing the velocity of the edge, I can continuously change how much flows across any cut in that system. And I think those are related to the fact that you can't, you know, since this object is quantized in any allowed 1D system, it also is another way of showing that the chiral edge of a quantum hull is not allowed in an MBL setting.
If instead of the only local fields which give you the MBL in the intermediate step, you would also add some kind of two-body interaction, something like that, would this current still localize to the edge, and could you still get the quantized value?
So then you'll have to compare how strong this perturbation is to the disorder that you added. But the idea is for some finite interval of parameters, you would stay in this phase. So it's stable to small perturbations. You add really strong interactions, of course, the bulk will just thermalize, and that'll destroy this phase.
No more questions. Let's thank speaker again.
Thanks.
It's time for a break.